think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and you are on Keeping It Real on Purpose. I am your host. I am your life purpose coach, author, speaker, and instructor. I want to welcome you all. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me today. And this is the place where experts have in-depth conversations about their life, relationships, and business in real time. Real talk about real life on purpose, about successes, failures, issues, and insight to a better life. Today on the show, we're excited to have Linwood Jackson Jr., who is an author, a philosopher, and poet. Welcome to Keeping It Real, Linwood.
Thank you for having me. Definitely keeping it real.
I know. It's a lot of work, though, don't you think?
It's beyond a lot of work.
I'm telling you, every fiber of you has to really keep it real. Like, you really have to. I remember when I first started this journey and, coming out of, I guess, not being real. Let me just say that. You know how traumas in your life kind of get you in a place, you know? Yeah. And, I had to literally pull my tongue out my mouth in front of people and bite it so I wouldn't lie, you know, like, because you're inclined to make up things as you go along because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You don't want to hurt yourself. You don't know what to do. You know, all this stuff is going through your head, and it's a real struggle sometimes. It really is.
You're keeping it real. You're deliberately unreal. You're saving it real.
It's just too much, I'm telling you. But I like the fact that you're into, and I like what you, for justification, and it says mental health and personal spiritual growth. You put the two words together.
Yeah.
I like that. I just love it. And could you tell us about the justification and then go to the personal spiritual growth together? I like that.
Yeah. You know, as human beings, we're definitely more than human.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's really not, at least I found it in my experience, it's not fulfilling enough to say, I need to love myself. I need to know me better.
Mm-hmm.
I can change myself better. Because at the end of the day, the root cause of our problem is us.
Oh, yeah.
So if we're looking to ourselves to feel better about ourselves, we're going to go in a circle that's a rat race.
Mm-hmm.
And we're never going to get anywhere, beneficial.
No.
But it turns out that being more than human, we have emotions.
Right.
Emotions don't really have a bodily source to them, which allows us to know that they extend beyond us. And extending beyond us, they extend to a mind beyond us, creator, which is how we know that we are created.
Right.
So justification is really about, the entire book is about getting the core of yourself aligned with your devotional conversation. Not necessarily traditional or denominational.
Right.
But understanding that track of field where you know where you are, and then bringing that experience and that wisdom to the human being, so mm-hmm. that then our human being has a counselor. It has an educator, and that educator is our essence. The essence that we've taken through that long track and field of getting to know it and it getting to know us, and then the marriage of that essence to our human being, that's really where the human and spiritual or devotional growth and development comes in, because human being can't do it for human being.
No, not at all.
Spiritual can't do it for spiritual. Human being plus spiritual is the core of our essence as a human being. Human being, that's what really makes us real.
Right.
So that's the core of what this book is. It's allowing your faith and your belief to understand that it has a character of its own, has mm-hmm. a mind of its own, has thoughts and has feelings of its own. And if we could take responsibility for that faith that we have, not, mm-hmm. again, traditional or denominational, mm-hmm. that genuine influence that we have to know a creator, to know a living God, if we can get that and train that and develop that, mm-hmm. that allows us to get a center of who we are, and that can bring us to a more wholesome, you know, industrial or innovative approach to living, to routine, to diet, to habit, and things of that nature.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you said that it's not religious or anything like that. You know, it's no devotion outside of yourself. Because so many times we hear the word faith, and all of a sudden we say, oh, that means, you know, the religion that we're in, you know, that's what that means. And it's funny that you're on today, because I think the universe is kind of sending me all this great stuff. I spoke with someone else who's is a philosopher, and we're talking about, God and how we feel about it. I think I learned more about God out of the religious sector than I did in the religious sector.
Yeah,
you know. So tell us how that the human growth kind of works together with that spirit. And define what spirit looks, you know, what we define what spirit does not looks like, but define what spirit is, so we can get a clearer vision of it.
This is actually a subject that I cover. I'm connected to a television program on a network based out of Atlanta, Georgia, called Preach the Word Network.
Okay.
So I have a show called Justification on this TV network.
Okay.
And this show actually breaks down that entire question.
Okay.
So this term justification, it's in the denominational traditional scope, mm-hmm. there's a justifying from a particular individual, a particular figure, or a particular personage, and it is our confidence on this personage or figure that allows that term justification to make sense for us.
Okay.
I'm justified from everything because of my belief in this personage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so this term in the Western sense really means a kind of a distortion of what it actually means in the traditional sense.
Yes.
In reality, and what I like to do is I like to study Bible by the language that it's written in.
Absolutely.
Justification is a term that means cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
So it means cleansed. So the real question is to get at is, what are we supposed to be cleansed from?
Right.
And you actually just said it, is the entire point of the definition of justification is to be cleansed from the traditional outlook that we have, so mm-hmm. that the mind of our devotional conversation can gain a foothold on its own character to honor the creator in its own individual way and maintain itself to that in its own individual way.
Right.
So this term justification is then a term applied to spirit. And again, I like to go back to the root word of spirit in our Western culture. Mm-hmm. Spirit is associated with whatever we would associate it with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in the context and language of the Hebrew language, spirit is actually mind.
Mm-hmm.
So in every sense, spirit is actually mind, or, you know, spirit is actually that rejuvenating factor within the human being that allows them to go beyond. And that is the mind of our faith.
Right.
So we're cleansed. The cleansing is for the mind of our faith. And the mind of our faith, it then goes back to our human being, because this is what leads us. We don't really realize it, but our religion affects how we behave. And one of the reasons why I get complaints like, I don't know, Christians aren't the nicest people. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's because the the root of their belief, it's not going into the root of their human being.
Right.
So the traditional landscape, it's actually blocking the work their faith needs to do in order to find itself.
Right.
So that's why you have people going, wow, I need to find myself. And I speak to it
a lot.
Me saying that my religion has insulted my intelligence.
Yes.
My belief has hurt me emotionally and right. spiritually. And this is not just religious people, this is also irreligious people.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so the whole their conflict is that religion has hurt them, religion has misled them, religion has deceived them, but they're not really seeing, and it's, you know, it's my goal and my right. joy to let them see that while they're hating or their experience or their past experience, they're missing their faith's genuine heart.
Exactly.
If you can feed your faith's genuine heart, mm-hmm. you will receive a new vision of how you should be operating. That past experience will not be as bad as it will. You'll see that it was for a growing process, a period. Mm-hmm. You need to go through that to get to where you are now in a mature way. And once that vision, and then you can envision how you should be relating to your creator.
Right. Okay.
That then allowed you to take responsibility for your human being, because now you're seeing, wow, I'm not just this physical thing. I'm not just this natural. I'm not just sentient in a natural sense. So getting this knowledge allows us to take responsibility for the fact that, wow, I need to take care of my body. I need to diet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what's in my toothpaste? Wow, right. what is in my food? Wow, what is in this? And we just become a little bit paranoid at first until we get a ground of who we are.
Right.
Once we get that ground of who we are, our human being can then have the balance that it needs, because it's aligned, not just human, not just devotional. It's aligned. Right. The marriage is complete.
Right. And this kind of you're talking and I'm saying this happened to me. It's like I started questioning, you know, my mind, literally the toothpaste, as you said, like what's in this toothpaste, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's funny because once I started aligning all of that, even the things that I ate disagreed with me, like, oh, that's
true.
And I can feel it. I can literally feel that some, when I put it in my mouth, well, this isn't right. Whatever I have in my mouth, it's not making my mouth feel good. And it's funny how you, it's perfect the way you're saying this. This is perfect. Like, I experienced it. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah,
I didn't know what it was. I knew that I was on the right track as yeah. far as my life, you know, my life and aligning myself spiritually. But I definitely feel the difference, even with soaps, you know, just using any, it's like, wait, I don't think this feels good. Even with clothing, it's like, oh, I don't think this feels good. And I throw it away.
Yep. It's weird.
It's really, really weird. It scares you. It's almost like, I felt like I had like this, okay, I have this disease, like, you know, something's inside of me, because everything felt different. Everything was different. And there was a question, you know, like, should I be using this? Should I be using that? What should I use? And I spend, oh goodness, I don't even want to tell you how long I spend in the store reading labels. I don't know if you want to tell you that. It's just bad.
And it's all necessary.
Yes,
it's completely necessary, because now you're thinking not just for the physical, you're thinking, wow, this can actually affect, if this hair dye gets to the root of my hair, it can actually yeah. feed into the mm-hmm. to the glands, and it can... It's just crazy when you start digging into.
You really, really do. Yeah, you really, really do. It's just, it's amazing. I mean, and I really did think I was something wrong with me. And I love how you when I came out of the religious sector, I sat down for like 6 months, and I think I literally read the Bible over again, but I read it in the Hebrew language, and I researched each word. It was amazing how that doesn't mean that.
Yep.
I was transformed. It was like, that doesn't mean that. This is not what this means. And I'm like, well, and it was blowing my mind. Like, I was like a little kid, like, this can't be. Like, you know, this just can't be. I was told this, and I see it like literally. Just the Hebrew language, it can't be translated as easy as we believe it to be, you know? And I was like, oh, wow. And when you said justification, those are one of the words that I was studying. And I was like, oh my gosh, This is perfect. Like, you know, so I understand about the dogma that we kind of get, all this stuff gets put on us. How do you rejuvenate the spirit in order to be like transformed? How do you do that? How can you start making that transition?
Well, there's a couple of things. I like to, John 3:6, that which is of the flesh is flesh, that which is of the spirit is spirit. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's absolutely vague.
Right.
But in its right context, flesh doesn't actually mean literal flesh.
Right.
In its correct context, if you have to get that word down to the Greek, it means conversation. So you have devotional conversation. And spirit doesn't actually mean spirit, it means mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually saying what is for the devotional conversation's body, it's for the devotional conversation's body. And what is for the body of the spirit of the mind, it's for the body of the spirit of the mind. And whenever I like to talk about the subject, I like to show that there's actually a divide here. There's a divide between what's for the body of the conversation, and then there's a mark in between it. And on the right, there is the body of the spirit of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The root philosophy concerning justification is that what is for the devotional body or what is physical, the physical stuff, is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So not the physical stuff, meaning we're so accustomed to routine, baptism, ritual, rites,
all those rituals,
So this is the Bible's philosophy, is that this is corrupting our genuine faith. But on the other hand, what is for the spirit of the mind is for the spirit of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you actually begin the process. You begin the process by temperately and patiently refraining from your ideal perspective of what religion or your form of religion is, and discovering without the physical stuff what you actually believe.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you can take your physical stuff out of it, the more you can take your opinion out of it, the more you can take your belief out of it, that's actually the more you're going to realize, what's God now?
Yeah.
Because
because
the thing around my neck told me that's what God was.
Right.
The picture on the wall told me that's what would. My mom, my uncle, my best friend, Pastor so-and-so.
Right.
So then you strip all of that away, and the only thing that you're left with is you. And more than being left with you, you're left with you facing a faith or an inward or genuine confidence in the living God that has absolutely no faith or genuine confidence at all.
Right.
So then you're left making the decision, what do I now do? Do I, you know?
Yeah.
Go backwards, or do I go forward into nothing?
Yes.
And that's the experience that is actually within the Bible. The way I like to say it is that 99% of the Bible is a form of a false show of religion, and meaning you give to the deity sacrifices.
Right.
And even point blank, you can find passages saying, I never once talked to your people about offerings and sacrifices when I brought them out of Egypt. So how did it begin? That's another thing, but
yes, it is.
And so the getting away from that, 99% of the Bible is giving offerings and sacrifices to a deity. Meanwhile, that same deity is saying, this isn't really what I taught you guys to do.
Right.
So then there's a 1% of the Bible that's really hidden, but it's the overall scope of the Bible is that this sacrifices and offerings and this handwritten religious tradition, this has to go away, because if we're going to believe that God is a spirit, John 4:24, and if we're going to believe Luke 24:39, that a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, then we have no right and no justification for honoring a spirit with something that's physical.
Right.
So this part of the philosophy then transitions to where you can find also, you know, I'm going to bring you from darkness into light. I'm going to make crooked things straight. I'm going to bring you into a new way. You will no longer desire your gods. And that's the point of it, that everything comes down to a stripping away of the physical stuff.
Right.
And it gets down to you making a decision to take a walk in darkness so that you, by your own experience, can understand what genuine faith is. And by doing so, you're fulfilling the term justification.
Right.
So justification isn't really even though it's a term.
Right.
You know, the Hebrews, when they speak, actions in their terms.
Yes.
So the term is actually a concept, and mm-hmm. the concept is actually a inward purification from your former religious belief to now a more genuine and conscious devotional habit, right. which is more getting to your human being, as opposed to before it was negatively impacting your human being.
Right.
So that's how you actually okay. begin that process, is mm-hmm. realizing that you've been observing lies,
right.
and that it wasn't intentional on your part. So you have to, there's a process of forgiving yourself, and then there is a process of forgiving the people that have led you, if they have led you. And then there is a process of accepting that I can now move forward, or I can live in this torturous, you know, heart that I have now, because I know sure. I have a faith that I need to feed, but
right.
I'm too scared to do it because I don't know what's on the other side.
Right.
But if I could take, you know, that chance and that risk, I can know what's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't know is that knowing what's on the other side, it actually falls back to our human being, and that's where we receive the ultimate well-being.
Absolutely. That
our totally faith agree. In its development, it mm-hmm. falls back to the growth and development of our human being, because going through that experience,
yeah.
you're realizing character,
right.
you're realizing ambition, you're realizing industry, you're realizing consciousness, you're becoming aware of those years that you have missed. And I've mm-hmm. spoken to people. Just an example, a 65-year-old woman heard me speaking one time, and she came up to me and she said, "So what you're telling me is that I have to take 64 years of believing in something, and you're telling me that it's not right, and then I have to go and do something else after 64 years?"
Yes.
Because, but in her mind, it's just like, I have a set way.
Yeah.
I have a set
I'm invested in this, you know, come yeah. on.
I have a set way, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, you're not too old to grow as a
no.
human being. You're
no.
still alive. Yeah. If your heart is beating, that means that you have
absolutely.
A reason for growing as a human being in devotionally, primarily.
Yeah.
So it's not too late, even though it seems like you've got 64 years of this one habit, or
right.
multiple habits. It's just that lining.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I like what you said. You've been observing lies. Observing is a deep word. You've been part of it. You've seen it. You know it's on you. That's really deep. That observing lies. It's really, really deep. And as you were speaking, I'm thinking about I don't want to say famous. They always say this all the time. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yeah,
can you kind of like examine that and share that? Because that is like the epitome of some yeah. of the religious sectors. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Well, I have a lot of, ever since I've made my work public, I've had a lot of conflict with the theological world,
mm-hmm.
especially with the religious journals. So their perspective of being renewed in the spirit of your mind is, you know, continually dive into the theories of theology and continually revive your faith on this person that we have devoted our
right.
Former and present time to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, renew your belief on this figure and everything that is surrounding it, so that then, you know, you can have a more confident contribution to what we are doing and a more confident contribution to your own belief.
Right.
But, you know, what they really don't quote is the verse before it.
Literally. Right. I was going to say, they forget that part, but go ahead. I'm excited. Go ahead.
And the verse before it actually says, so put off your former conversation, the old man, which is deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Right.
Then it says, and put on the new man, which is created. So those three verses are the underlying factor for the movement that the Bible is actually calling for. It is that our former conversation, our former devotional habit, our former
mm-hmm.
religious custom,
mm-hmm.
you need to get rid of that.
Right.
And it's not necessarily that you need to get rid of it.
Right.
Because it says, put off your former conversation, the old man. So there's nothing wrong with your genuine belief. The way you
right.
genuine, there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Your confidence is beautiful. What really needs to be put off is that old man.
Mm-hmm.
And in proper language, that old man is an old mind or an old approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old approach to how we would honor something that we cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
And the old approach to honoring what we cannot see is through doing what we can see, which is eat this wafer and drink this, put this on your forehead, dip in this water.
Right, right.
Chant these things over and over again. Hold these beads as you pray.
Yeah, right, right.
It's this is the old approach.
Right.
This is no longer valid.
Right.
And because it's no longer valid, then be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother to this text is Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where it says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and perfect will of the mm-hmm. living God." So when it's saying be renewed in the spirit of your mind, it's actually saying be renewed by doing the will
mm-hmm.
of the living God. And that just leads into another question of what is that will? If
I was just about to say that.
And the will of the living God is actually the transformation of the devotional mind, which goes back to put off the former conversation, the old man, and put on a new mind. And that new mind is an approach where it is, as it says in Romans 12 and verse 2, you are proving. So if you're proving, that has a lot of mental activity attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And along with that mental activity, that is more of a, that mental translates to a bodily movement. So what you're taking in mentally from your own independent and private studies, begin to live that.
Right.
And this is actually a proverb. Keep my commandments and live. And this is where, you know, the Bible is a book of contradictions, because you have, on one hand, I have given you these statutes, commandments, laws for you to do them. But then on the other hand, you have the proverb saying, keep my commandments and live. So there's
right.
no instruction after and live.
And live, right.
So there's no keep this, keep this, keep that. And there's no, this is my commandment, that is my commandment, that is not. It's just keep my commandments and live on
right.
the one hand. And on the other hand, these are the commandments and I've given them to you. Live them and do them. This is your righteousness. And so there's always a conflicting character within the Bible of a binding to a religious handwritten law.
Uh-huh.
But then on the other hand, there is a liberation from what is handwritten to what is within.
Mm.
And so the ultimate scheme of just even in the book
yeah.
of Ephesians, it's that form of conversation that you have that is tied to those traditional landscapes.
Right.
Put that mind of approach off, and then, according to the Proverbs, live.
Right.
And that means, as you began this by saying, fail.
Right.
Fail, succeed, cry,
right.
get frustrated, feel depressed, keep going, take note, review, reflect, fail, repeat the process over and over again. That's what that word live means. Only then can we know what those commandments are. And that's trippy because they're supposedly there written for us. But on the other hand, I will write my law in your hearts and in their inward parts, and I will be their God and they will be my people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things there. There's supposed to be a writing going on within us.
Right.
But on the other hand, there is the Bible saying the writing is supposed to come from without you, from the pen of priest and pastor. So we can make a decision of how we want to live out our faith.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall scope, we will always come back, no matter how the Bible views of the sacrifices and offerings of the deities, the following of whatever and whatever, the Bible will always come back to its overall philosophy of live.
Right.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off that old approach and embrace being a creation. That's that third verse, is that new mind of approach
mm-hmm.
is for being a creation. And being a creation, as human beings, we have brains. We don't really like to be told what to do. We don't really like activity. We're naturally, as human beings, doesn't matter who we are, lazy. We like easy. We like easy religion.
Yeah.
Easy ritual. What is a habit and what is a routine? I'm going to keep doing that. We don't like to get out of it.
Right.
So this is what the overall theme of how the Bible has become a religion works. Do the religion and you're justified. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. But underneath all of that rubbish, and in every single illustration within the Bible and its language and context, is a philosophy saying every single individual tied to this needs to break away from it and resurrect their mind, their thoughts, and their feelings from it to own now their own devotional conversation.
Okay, that's really good stuff.
Even when I do speak, there's a Jesus of the Christianity, and then there is an individual within the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by the Jesus? What do you mean by that?
Jesus of Christianity mm-hmm. means believe in my blood and you can go to heaven.
Okay.
So that figure.
Yeah, okay.
But then there is a figure that actually taught and that was crucified that does not have any of these principles connected to anything that he taught.
Right.
Examples, Galatians 3:13.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I've been saying is just summed up in this one verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Right.
Now, this law, it can mean nomos, which is about, in that language, statute, principle, policy, so mm-hmm. on and so forth.
Right.
But in the Jesus of Christianity, it's more of we are redeemed from sin through his blood.
Okay.
But in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:56, the handwritten religious law is categorized as the definition of sin.
Wow.
Yeah. And wow. So what we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we have is a religious tradition telling us that this we are honored and going to a place where we need to go, and we're justified by a belief on the blood and the sacrifice and the body of a personage.
Mm-hmm.
This, to the Bible, is the definition of sin, everything that I just said.
Because right.
But on the other hand, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the law.
Yeah, so, I think they forget that part.
Yeah, it's really not understood in my work, and also in this book, Justification. I really get down to this point because it is the Bible's philosophy that I'm really into, because it's benefited me. It is that the redemption that we are to experience is not a redemption based off of a personage's demigod-like blood.
Right.
That's not what the Bible teaches. Right. The Bible teaches redemption or deliverance or an escape from the handwritten philosophy. And it's not limited to Moses, because we're still doing it to this day. Each church,
sure.
for example, has a manual, a church manual.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so these are religious laws that they abide by, and according again to the Bible,
mm-hmm.
this is the definition of what sin is.
Right.
So when I do teach these things, I've had somebody come up to me and go, so I last Sunday ate like the little wafer and I drank, but that was sin? And I was like, according to the Bible, yeah. because it's so misconstrued, because the religion in and of itself, it's really not spiritual primarily. It's primarily flesh-based. It's
right.
primarily secular.
Right.
So when we think about sin, we're trained to think about sin as something that is secularly occurring.
Right.
Or secularly occurring inside of us.
Right.
That's not how the Bible defines
no.
sin.
Mm-mm.
The Bible actually defines sin very specifically, which is why they actually may not highlight the verse prior to "be renewed in the spirit of your mind."
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're putting off the former conversation, the old man, that old approach is attached to doing what is handwritten.
Ah.
So when you can put off what is handwritten, that old approach, then you have the opportunity to be renewed in the spirit of your faith's mind and understand that there is a liberation from this for the
right.
purpose of you gaining knowledge of who you are, your experience, the living God, your connection, and your purpose in this life, as opposed to your purpose being the fulfillment of commandments and deeds.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, you talked about religion and all that. What do you think about Christianity being the religion? What do you think about that? I want to just hear what you have to say about that. I really do.
I'll put it like this.
Okay.
take this bread, this is my body, which is broken for you.
Mm-hmm.
Take this cup, which is the same, this is the blood of the New Testament.
Okay.
And then we have in the book of 1 Corinthians and the 2 Corinthians, Paul reiterating this he said, meaning do this every time in remembrance of me.
Right.
So what we have in the Bible is a figure that the Christian religion is built around, forwarding what the Bible defines as sin, meaning a religious law.
Ah.
So you have an individual creating or initiating something that he was supposedly died to get rid of.
Right.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
And that's sort of the way that I see the Christian religion, is that it is forwarding what the Bible is actually saying we as human beings and as devotional beings should actually pay no mind to.
Right.
And its central figure is being marketed for that very purpose. Right. So it's actually undermining the Bible, not saying that it comes from the Bible.
Right. Yeah, I like the word marketing that you're saying there. Marketing.
Yeah.
I like that because it opens another subject, but I like the word marketing because it is exactly that. And it brings all these other things that we have to almost have a religious right. And I said this the other day to someone. I said, you do all those religious rites. I've done them in the past. And I said, but where does it get you?
Yeah.
Where, how far are you to where you're thinking it is, and you don't really know it's there. So you like, it's like this whole menagerie of like, you're not really certain. So it's just like you said, you have to go back to yourself now and kind of get those, answer those questions and like, leap off the cliff and say, hey, I don't know what's coming, but you know, I'm going to try to live, you know, let me do that, you know, and kind of take that leap of faith, you know, and do that.
And that's how you know that a creator actually exists, because then you get to realize I'm a creation.
Right.
You get to go through that period of frailty. And then by doing that, you can actually understand that there is something, beyond you at work here. Right. And something else that attached to that I like to bring up is 1 Corinthians 10:29. Very, very, the second portion of that, Paul is saying, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience?
Conscience, yep.
And the whole, what he's saying in this chapter and the ones before is that the Corinthian ministers were mixing philosophies with philosophies that had nothing to do with what Paul was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were coming up with new religious principles, and it was damaging what Paul had given them initially. And so, you know, the idea is, for why is my liberty to be judged or to be based off of somebody else's penmanship?
Wow.
Why not allow your own self to struggle for your own penmanship?
Mm-hmm.
And not only believe that penmanship is the all in all, but continue to refine it.
Right.
Continue to make that journey the life journey, because that's what this is.
Right.
It's a life journey until we hit the casket.
Yep. Exactly.
Continue to refine, aside from, you know, depending on the penmanship of someone else, which is coming from a conscience that's not yours.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. I like to just bring that out for the simple fact of, again, the conflict of modern or popular theology is the dictation of the experience by a personage. Meanwhile, you have the Bible just saying, you know, do the opposite. And it even tells you that the book of Isaiah, they love me from their mouths, but from their heart, they're not with me.
Right.
And everything about me is taught by the precept of man. Wherefore, I'm going to do something very different, and I'm going to turn their wisdom upside down. Now, this turning upside down of their wisdom is the turning upside down of that old approach.
Right.
The old approach was cool, but now it's upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And now what's upside down is once you're without all of that, it's just you.
It's just you and it's just
your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's gaining that strength with you and just your mind and developing that confidence that you will be heard by a mind greater than yours.
Yes, absolutely. This is so great. This is great philosophy for the audience and myself. I'm getting to know a lot of what I've experienced and I didn't have the words for, if that makes sense.
It does.
I have experienced and I never had the words for, and you articulated everything that I felt, that I've gone through, and I now know what it is. So I'm definitely going to buy the book Justification, but tell us how to get it. Tell my audience how to obtain your book Justification.
Sure. You can go on Amazon. You could even just Google my name or the book, Linwood, or Justification, or okay. Go to my website, linwoodjacksonjr.com, and all's there.
Okay, great. What else is coming on the horizon for you? I heard about your show on the public television.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on? We can look you up and follow you around.
I'm now putting together a new book to publish. It's going to be based on empathy.
Okay.
It's called a Faith That Works.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
And you know, that's going to be based off of the fact that our experience is supposed to serve us so that we can actually serve other minds.
Mm-hmm.
So developing a spirit of empathy, whether it's in organization, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in self, whether it's in relationship,
right,
whether it's in friendship, whatever our you know, communion with the living God is, the result of that in its demonstration is supposed to be empathic.
Right.
And empathic to the point of extending into the universe of benevolence.
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that benevolence and the benevolent effect that we have from studying these things and from going into that darkness, it's supposed to allow us to grow comfortable with the fact that others may not know who they are.
Right.
And with us now being conscious that they may not know who they are, we can then develop, you know, empathy towards what they may
be
going through.
What they're going through, right.
And, yep, and it's that experience that becomes centralized in the cultivation of faith that can help us connect with one another intricately and better, and that's just literally what the entire book is about.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to look for you on those platforms, and we're going to look forward to getting your book. Now, I'm going to turn the tables on this part, because we know all about your philosophy and what a wonderful author you are, and I haven't heard any poetry yet, so...
Oh, man.
just give us a little bit of that. Give us a little bit of the poetry.
Oh, man, I wish... On the spot.
On the spot.
Jeez, okay. Here it comes.
Okay.
Most of my poetry is about the marriage between a human being and their devotional character.
Okay.
Or the heart and the mind. So, for wherefore then are we together? Is it for love? Is it for fighting? Is it for union? Or for what union is there without love, or without fighting, or without argument, or without detesting?
Mm-hmm.
You have been given to me, and I have not been grateful toward you, as I have been given to you, and you have not been grateful toward me. As we have prayed and as we have given to one another writings.
Uh-huh.
These writings doing more than your father could have ever imagined for me, and you the benefit for me also. Wherefore then are we separated? Is it for conflict or is it for agreement? If we cannot agree, let us find conflict for agreement. And if we cannot find conflict for agreement, then let us find something to war over that we may embrace a love that we can fight and die for. That is what we are for together, and together for one, and one for a love to fight and to die for.
Very nice. I was almost thinking that was a song, so very nice. That's beautiful. So now we've heard the poetry side. So we want to know that this philosopher is just not some, you know, clandestine. He's very human. So what is your favorite color?
Red. Quick. Not even a question.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to ask you another question. Now, what if you had a billboard, what would you put on it and why would you put it there?
Man, I would put that same words, be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Okay.
And I would put it there because there would be so many interpretations of that.
Yeah.
And whether it's love or whether it's hate, it would still get a discussion going.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, challenge the mind. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Great. Yeah. And last question, what would you pick for your last meal?
Pasta.
Easy, right? Easy, you answer. Man. Usually, everyone gets kind of stumped when I ask these questions. You just like boom, 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 boom.
My two loves, red and pasta.
Okay, all right, yep. And sauce, right? Sauce exactly. On top of the bagel.
Exactly.
That's great. Are there any final thoughts that you can leave with the audience that you can share with them if they wanna, you know, delve into this particular philosophy that you're in? How can they just begin the journey and or even just to better themselves? Is there anything you can share?
Yeah, you know, if you are willing to or are going through that period in your life, begin writing. Write anything at any time about how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And especially spend time with those words. I will always say spend time with those words within the Bible. Even if it's a sentence, even if it's a paragraph, even if it's less than 1 minute, pay attention to what you're reading and then just take a moment to reflect on what you have read.
Mm-hmm.
That way then you can actually be read of the Bible instead of reading the Bible.
Right, nice.
So being read of the Bible, then you can then begin to spend time with those principles and get them cultivated more in yourself, away from the negativity that you feel wherever you're feeling it. That way you can begin to, without even knowing what it says, live.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, as living, develop those principles and those commandments, and then what you see and then what you live and what you learn.
Right.
Bring it back to the Bible and in weigh what you are learning and what you're experiencing with what's actually in there. And that's mm-hmm. actually the first step, is that once you can get that experience, get that wisdom,
right.
bring everything back to the source. And once you get it back to the source, weigh it with the source, challenge it, and then take it right back out into real life and exercise it.
Great. That is great. And I just want to thank you for this most insightful episode. And audience, I hope you receive something from it. If not, download it and listen to it again, because it really did something for me. It really solidified a lot of things for me. And we want to thank you for being on the show. And this brings us to the end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it about on social media, leave us a rating or a review. And remember, you can always press the button and leave a question for our guest today, Linwood, and you can leave a message for him, and I can surely pass it along. And to catch me, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at EJW Coaching. Thanks again for being here. And this is Edna White and my guest, Linwood, saying bye for now.
Life is unpredictable. But how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.